Please listen to today's scripture from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem.
And at the sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, but each one heard them speaking in their native language of each.
Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?
And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?
Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia.
Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes.
Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power."
All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?"
Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
There's really only one thing that can be said on this particular Pentecost, and that is no. Ko-fi-fi is not the Twitter equivalent of speaking in tongues. Let us pray. Lord, come quickly. For it is getting out of hand down here. Guide us now that we and all around us might hear your word. Amen. So a few months ago, when I first heard it, I didn't understand. And so I took it as a challenge. I thought perhaps it could be a teachable moment. The scathing cry welled up behind me, piercing me to my inner being and laying bare all my fears and anxiety. I could almost see the words as they made their way to my ears, each one a dagger, clumsy yet sharp and precise. Here are those words. No 80s music. These were the words hurled at Amanda Beadle and myself as we prepare to make our way back from the confirmation retreat in April. Middle schoolers, scathing us with their innocuous request. A challenge, I say. A teachable moment indeed. Oh yes, there will be 80s music. How could we pass up a little "So What You Want" with the Beastie Boys, or NWA's Express Yourself, and Madonna's Express Yourself, because don't go for second best, baby. If you're gonna do it right. We can take it all the way back to Diana Ross with "I'm Coming Out." No 80s music, as if you don't need to know what it sounds like when doves cry. It worked, of course. The Holy Spirit showed up and they sat quietly in the van, listening intently to every song that came on. But mostly they were asleep. There we were, all gathered in one space, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and two reluctantly older people. And it was very clear that we just weren't speaking the same language. Come, Holy Spirit, indeed. Not unlike the group in our text today. We were one group, but coming from different places and experiences, Luke tells us in Acts that the gathered body came from as far north and west as modern-day Italy and Tunisia, as far south as Saudi Arabia, and as far east as Iran, all gathered in for a celebration of Shavuot, a first harvest festival, and celebrated as the giving of the Torah to the Israelites. In this particular instance, we learn that it becomes the day of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the celebration we call Pentecost, the Greek term for the same festival. Acts sets the gathering as a coming together of believers from what is essentially, for the author, the entire world. Luke intentionally sets a universal and inclusive stage where the Holy Spirit shows up and embraces all the people. It is a big deal. The Spirit even embraces the Galileans. Now, you may have missed the shade being thrown at the Galileans in our text, but it goes like this. Verse 7, amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? No? Nobody? Okay. This is some epic first century savagery, I assure you, as the Galileans were often derided as ignorant and unable to speak intelligibly in other languages. So it wasn't just the well-studied pious. It was the common, the stereotyped, and the convert. It was one group, but there was diversity, and there was division. There were Gentile converts and some who saw Christ as the Messiah. Perhaps I can make it a little more clear. Present in that place were people who say, Minecraft is best played on Xbox. No? No. Also present in that place were people who say Minecraft is best played on Nintendo. All along with the Minecraft haters. A little better? There were Star Trek fans, and there were Star Wars fans. There were people who put ketchup all over their French fries, and people who make a little pool of ketchup to dip them in. There were adults who wear rompers. And everyone else. There were Nationals fans, and there were Phillies fans. There was the majority of the country and the current administration. No doubt there was tension. No doubt people may have at times thought the worst of one another, questioning and distrusting everything the others said. Of course, we are not so far removed even now. There are deep divisions within our United Methodist denomination, to the point that even talking about how we are one can almost feel hypocritical in a denominational setting. This congregation knows firsthand the challenges as we observe them in this past week of another round of annual conference, and another delay of a called, qualified, and approved candidate for ordination. The challenges within the church almost pale in comparison to our national stage. Our public life is rife with opposition and what appears to be vindictive and intentionally harmful policy. And I venture a guess that all of us have thought of someone or some group to blame. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us. Now, with that backdrop, it's no wonder that those present on the day of Pentecost would have been amazed and astonished. Luke doesn't describe the people as being impressed. It doesn't say that they were gathered together saying, oh, how wonderful, I speak a new language. This is great. We should travel. No, they were astonished, perplexed, confused, stunned, and baffled. That makes perfect sense. Imagine waking up tomorrow and hearing and understanding those with whom you disagree most. That guy, really. Think what it could be like to arrive at a new level of understanding and commonality that didn't exist before. I was reminded as I prepared for today of stories a pastor friend in North Carolina told me this past winter. Now, he serves a church just outside of Mount Olive, North Carolina, the pickle capital of the state. There are plenty of fields and plenty of laborers. He says the town likes to think of itself as Mayberry, but he's pretty sure their perception is distorted. There is one stoplight, a Piggly Wiggly, and that's a grocery store for the uninitiated. There is a Family Dollar and a Dollar General store, and there are three restaurants. Two of the three restaurants listed on the map are Mexican restaurants, and the third one is a taqueria. Do you all know this place? My guess is you do know this place, and I bet some of you actually grew up in the same town in another state. Now, while there's evidence of diversity within the population on the map, believe it or not, that diversity is not necessarily reflected in the congregation at the local United Methodist Church. They have their challenges, one of which might be described as playing well with others. Now, into that challenge last fall, a mighty rush of violent wind came across eastern North Carolina in the form of Hurricane Matthew. The areas around Mount Olive, as well as much of eastern North Carolina, experienced widespread flooding and destruction. But what stuck with me was the description my friend relayed to our small group. He said this: when tragedy struck last fall, the inherent but sometimes hidden goodness of the place was exposed. Everyone was helping everyone. People were driving around from place to place with chainsaws and other forms of equipment to move debris. People weren't charging people for this. They were just loving their neighbor. Perhaps the best spirit-moving part of it all was the reciprocal nature of the aid. People from every walk of life were assisting people from every walk of life. And not only that, but they were speaking with one another in an amount of love and compassion that cannot be described. My pastor friend was amazed and astonished. He watched his community begin to speak and act through God's language, with the right foundations, with the right root words. We open ourselves up to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, which empowers us to speak in ways we didn't think possible. The work that our confirmands have been doing is foundation laying. The work that we do each Sunday is foundation laying. Learning the root words and actions of God's language. Now, our confirmands, today you join an imperfect church and an imperfect community. But you join a community well-versed in the roots of God's language. They are faithful. They are prophetic. And they are committed to journeying with you. They will stand with you in times of challenge, and they will celebrate with you in moments of joy. The vows that we'll exchange today, the promises that we will make to one another, are best summed up by Rick Astley. I'm never going to give you up. I'm never going to let you down. I'm never going to run around and desert you. Yeah, praise the Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, this community will, from time to time, amaze and astonish, overcoming division and distrust, to live life in love. Amen.
Friends, is our